Sure is good to see everybody back again this evening, and appreciate our visitors returning and want you to come back each and every opportunity you possibly have. If you would at this time, please be turning your Bibles to the book of Exodus. I'd like for us to look at a passage beginning in the 17th chapter here in just a moment. Exodus chapter 17. While you're turning there, a few years ago, as I was studying Bible at Harding University, one of my teachers often liked to refer to me as Dr. Dillon. And it was always fun to hear that word. And of course, when you hear that, it seems like one that has a substantial degree of some sort. But you know, a doctor also can be in a medical field. Now, while I don't profess to know a lot of medicines or how to treat certain diseases, there are two common problems that I believe we can frequently see. And looking back in the Old Testament, we find a common symptom includes a hardened heart, and the other symptom is a stiff neck. As we study today, you'll see how often these things appear. Beginning in Exodus chapter 17, in verse 1, the Bible reads this: "Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses, and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' So Moses said to them, 'Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses, and said, 'Why is it ye have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" Imagine the attitude that these people had. After all, they have been serving in the land of Egypt for quite some time, and we know how Moses was ruling over them under direction of the Lord. And sometimes Moses would get irritated not only by the complaints of the children of Israel, but also from the things that the Egyptians might say. And when you look at the perspective of both sides, why is God doing this to us? Why are these things happening? They groan and they complain, and no doubt they were wondering, because you'll recall, God was teaching them a lesson. If we look even back in chapter 16, the people complained of hunger, and God sent them manna from heaven. Here in chapter 17, again, they complained of being thirsty, and still God was going to provide them water from a rock. But this was not the only instance in which this happened. If you go to the book of Numbers, there, begin reading in chapter 20, you'll find that this happened even yet again. A few circumstances were a little bit different, but you'll notice the same idea was carrying on. Numbers chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. "Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, 'If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up out of the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink.' So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, to gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rod twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Perhaps by constant pressure, by constant grumbling and complaining, the children of Israel had gotten to Moses and Aaron, and when God asked him to do something, Moses did not do exactly what God said. God still provided, but later Moses would have to suffer the consequence by not being able to enter into the promised land. How hardened the people's hearts had become when they had all things provided them by God, only to realize that if they do not do what God says, they might have to do without a few things. They have to learn a lesson. And later, that lesson perhaps was learned, perhaps was not, but many people began to speak about the lesson we can learn. One thing we can learn is what was said by the prophet Ezekiel. And when you turn to the book of Ezekiel, there in chapter 3, you quickly find that the report of the children of Israel was not very good. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Here is what the Lord said to Ezekiel. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Can we relate to that? Can we say that perhaps, too, we're hard-hearted? Sometimes we hear the idea, hard-headed, but when we think about where our thoughts and things originate, it comes from our hearts. Are we really intent, like we talked about this morning, on listening to God's Word? Are we really intent on keeping His commands? Well, in the very next book, the book of Daniel, Daniel quickly realizes there were a couple of kings that did not. You may remember King Nebuchadnezzar and also Belshazzar, who began to succeed him. And Daniel had some harsh words for Belshazzar there in Daniel chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. Notice what he told him. Daniel chapter 5 and in verse 18. O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them, And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Imagine how Belshazzar would feel after hearing these words. Well, if we continue on to read, we would see the revelation of the writing on the wall, what it meant, and what surely would come to pass. Things that are not good happen to those that do not treat the Lord good. We quickly find that God has something in store for those that love Him and serve Him with all their heart. Likewise, He has something in store for those that do not love Him nor serve Him with all their heart. And also, if we would go to 1 Samuel, there in chapter 6, we would read about those in Philistia. It's interesting that the priests would question those in Philistia regarding the hardness of their hearts. During that conversation, they make reference to those that were previously in Egypt, Pharaoh, and all the Egyptians. I'm sure we all remember what happened to Pharaoh and all the Egyptians. The book of Exodus, beginning in chapter 7 and going through chapter 14, tells us of the 10 plagues that God has sent upon them. And how many times during those chapters do we read Pharaoh's heart was hardened? Most of the time we read that Pharaoh hardened his heart. But if you also notice, there are a few times that says the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And if we wonder what would be the difference of Pharaoh hardening his own heart or the Lord hardening it, perhaps Webster could share a little bit of light on this statement. Based upon his commentary, he says, God hardens the heart when he withdraws influences of his spirit from men and leaves them to pursue their own corrupt inclinations. Imagine that. Sometimes God still gives us a choice, to follow him or to follow ourselves. And sometimes we make the wrong choice. And instead of helping us along for things to get better, maybe it's best that we make things worse so that in the end, things will get better. In the New Testament, when we read about members of the Lord's church, sometimes there are times in which we have to disassociate perhaps with one person or another. But that gives them chance to recognize the error of their ways and to repent and turn back unto us. Think about the times that the Egyptians and Pharaoh had to do what the Lord told them to do. Or even the children of Israel, as they were there for a while, and then began to leave and wander in the wilderness. Sometimes it's because of a hardened heart, but then similarly, it could be part of a very stiff neck. If you were to look with me now in the book of 2 Kings, let's go to chapter 17, because you'll find something very similar to the hardness of hearts in terms of stiffening our necks. That was a problem many times for Israel and even Judah. In 2 Kings chapter 17, there beginning in verse 13, here's what we read concerning them. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a woman image, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And I'm sure that we do not have to read any farther to know what would happen if the Lord's anger should come upon us, if we were to be in the hands of a righteous and just God. He would know that if we stiffened our neck against Him, things would not be very good toward us. But we also were told in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, that there is another king that did the very same thing. You'll recall that his name is King Hezekiah. In fact, he had seen the lives of many children of Israel that did not do what they should do. In fact, he encouraged other people not to do as their ancestors. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, notice what the Bible says in verse 8. Now do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord, and enter His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. Hezekiah wanted to do what was right, but sadly the children of Israel were not. And sometimes we know as human beings there are only things that we can do for such a limited time. We can encourage and encourage, but the decision ultimately has to belong to someone else. Later in 2 Chronicles, just six chapters later, in chapter 36, beginning in verse 11, we're told of another king, King Zedekiah. Zedekiah was quite in contrast to Hezekiah. In fact, we're told about him, beginning in verse 11, that he was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Imagine that. What would God say about us if we too turned against Him? Well, He also tells us that there is something that will happen to us. Should we harden our heart? Should we stiffen our neck? And we begin in the Old Testament to see what would happen. And we turn to the words of Solomon. Where else to go but the book of Proverbs? There in chapter 28 and verse 14, he tells us the very first thing that will happen. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14 says, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Does that seem true even today? If we begin to turn against God and not do His will, imagine the things that will come upon us. You can make a case of even our own nation, how when it was first founded, according to the principles of God. If you read in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, you'll find that there are many references made to our Creator and about His willingness for us to serve Him and how we should be devoted to be doing His will. In fact, the Old Testament teaches us that righteousness exalts a nation. And what were to happen if we were not living a righteous life, if we turned our heart away from God? The Bible clearly tells us. In the very next chapter, chapter 29 of Proverbs, verse 1, Solomon says, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The Old Testament proves that time and time again. In fact, we're also told by the prophet Zechariah, who is, in fact, the next to the last book in the Old Testament, in chapter 7, beginning in verse 11, that there's something a lot worse than just calamity. Zechariah chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. He says, but they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as He proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with the whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Imagine the wrath of God coming upon those that harden their hearts, those that stiffen their necks, not just now, but perhaps also for all eternity. You know, the New Testament tells us much of the same thing. When we go to the book of Romans, you find the Apostle Paul also referred to the very same thing. In Romans chapter 2, there beginning in verse 5, here is what Paul said even to the church at Rome. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. God will render to us according to what we do, according to our heart being right with God. If we do what God says, yes, we will enter into everlasting life. But if we do not, everlasting punishment. Imagine these very words as they were first written by the psalmist. When we go back to the book of Psalms, we come to chapter 95. And there we get a window of what it's like back then where we first started and wandering in the wilderness by the children of Israel, and what it could be like for even us today. There in Psalm chapter 95, notice beginning in verse 7. The psalmist says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Imagine to whom the psalmist might have been speaking those words. Imagine now if those words were spoken to us. Would you believe they are? In fact, we find them even again in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews chapter 3. The writer of that book also begins to tell us what the Holy Spirit said in regard to those that rebelled in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, reads this way, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, and the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." And then notice the transition to what happened then to the people the Hebrew writer was writing at his time. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and a parting from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. For while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Friends, brethren, we do not need to harden our hearts as in the rebellion. You see what happened to the children of Israel. Imagine what God could do to us even today. Surely there has got to be a remedy if we are struggling with a hardened heart or a stiff neck. Well, let's turn over one book to the book of James. Because there in chapter 4, I believe James prescribes for us a remedy for a hardened heart. There in chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, James says, "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. If we allow our hearts to be in charge by God, not by ourselves, everything will turn out very well. Just as we don't approach studying the Word of God to see what all I can do, but what can God do through me. Being ready to receive His Word and to put into practice those things that I learn. But what about my neck? What if it's kind of stiff? What if we need to give it a little massage and loosen it up just a little bit? Well, you know the Bible has a remedy for that too. It's interesting the things that happen to people's necks when you read about the New Testament. For example, in Luke chapter 15, do you remember what happened to the prodigal son? As he was returning from wasting his life, his father sees him afar off. We read in verse 20 of Luke chapter 15 that his father runs out to meet him, falls on his neck, kisses him, and weeps to see him again. Imagine how soft that neck must have been for a father and son to be reunited. Or what about in the book of Acts? There in chapter 20, you'll remember that the Apostle Paul wanted to meet with the elders there at Ephesus perhaps one final time before he would continue his journeys. There, as he was speaking with them, not knowing if he would see them again or not, in verse 37 we're told that they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, and they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Imagine the chance for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to draw closer together and draw closer to God. Such was true for the church at Rome. In the book of Romans, in chapter 16, the very last chapter, we find the Apostle Paul writing to them of how two of his fellow companions also did something very important with their necks. He says in verse 3 of Romans chapter 16, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." They risked their necks to help Paul, and especially to serve Christ. Is that the way our heart is? Is that the way our neck is? Are we using everything we have in service to God? If we need to fix our problem, if we need to repent and turn our hearts back to God, if we need to loosen our necks and help each other to serve God and do our very best, this is the perfect opportunity. We're just about to sing a song of encouragement. And if you need to respond this evening, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.